left off discussing various aspects of tefillah, the machlokes tanaim ramagamim Rabbi Yeshua, whether tefillah service is a reshus, or whether tefillah service is considered to be echov. And Tosfos is bothered, brachos and afchavav, that how can you argue, as we maintain the halacha, tefillah service is only reshus? After all, there's so many indications in the Gemara of times where a person is obligated to repeat his Shmona Esrei. A person, for example, forgets a main part of Shmona Esrei, even in Arav, he's obligated to repeat. A person who forgets Yalav Yavon Cholamoi during Arvis is obligated to repeat the Shmona Esrei. And the Gemara Brachos and the Aflamid that tells us on Rosh Chodesh, one does not have to repeat Shmona Esrei. If at night you fail to mention Yalav Yavo, that's an exceptional case. The Gemara says that's because that's patterned after Kiddush HaKodesh. Kiddush HaKodesh is only Bayom, it is not Balayla, and therefore since in Mekadshin is HaKodesh Balayla, therefore you don't repeat Shmona Esrei. And Tosfos even has two deos, whether that's only true on the first night of Rosh Chodesh, whether that would be true even on a second night of Rosh Chodesh. After all, if it's a two-day Rosh Chodesh, the second night, the Gemara tells us, Kvar Kishu Shamayim, that Bezin doesn't convene, they don't declare Mekudosh Mekudosh. Why is it so obvious that the fact that Bezin will only gather and convene during the day is relevant to the second night of Rosh Chodesh? So Tosfos is very bothered. Why not simply argue in all these cases that Tefillah service is Rishus? And therefore, since the initial stages, a person did not have to daven, so why should he be obligated to repeat his tefillah? So Tosfos writes that you see from here, as we discussed in earlier shiurim, that the term reshus does not necessarily mean optional. But sometimes the Gemara will contrast two different obligations, one which pales compared to another, and it will term one a chova as opposed to the other that is a reshus. So reshus means relatively lenient. It does not mean something which is optional, take it or leave it. In fact, if you look at the Mishnah and Beit Sandaf Lamed Vav, the Mishnah uses the term reshus in cases that are clearly mitzvos, and Rashi makes that comment that the term in the Mishnah of reshus just means legabe mitzvah acheres, juxtaposed against another mitzvah, we'll call something reshus as opposed to that of echova. That is the Tosfos' approach. If you look in the other Rishonim, they cite the view of Halachos Gedolos that maintains perhaps one could envision that yes, the starting point is tefillah service is reshus, however, kvar shavua aleha kechova. We have now already accepted upon ourselves to treat arvis as though it is echova. What exactly does that mean? Shavua aleha kechova? So here one has several possibilities. When you look in the Rambam writes in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Tefillah, kvar nohagu kol Yisrael v'chol mekomo shmo shmoseihem. Knesset Yisrael has done so. The impression you get from the Rambam is Shavua Kechova does not necessarily mean individually that I as a Yachid have, but rather Klal Yisrael as a whole, throughout the generations. Knesset Yisrael has davened Maariv comparable to Shachris and Mincha, and therefore the principle of Shavua Kechova. If you look in the Tosus and Chagig and Daftes, there Tosus approaches Shavua Kechova individually. I have done so. And Tosfos says two further possibilities. What exactly does it mean that I have done so? Does it mean I have done so this evening? Well, tonight, I obviously decided to daven Maariv. And tonight, I forgot to say, Yalav Yavon Chol HaMoed. Since you already opted into davening tonight, so in such a case, you make a mistake, you have to repeat. If you wouldn't have davened, I wouldn't have pressured you necessarily to daven. But now that you opted in, and you were toa b'tefillah, in such a case, daven again. Or Tosfos has a further possibility that Shavua Kechova does not mean tonight. Shavua Kechova means typically, generally speaking, my routine is I always daven Maariv. And therefore, in a general sense of Shavua aleha kechova. So two fundamental views, whether it means Yachid, or whether it means the Tzibur Knesset Yisrael, even within the Yachid, two possibilities. Does it mean this evening, or does it mean generally, typically, that since I always daven Maariv, so therefore, we'll view it as though it's considered to be echova. So what we left off in the last year just simply was as follows. Even though this is true, what the Rambam writes, that Shavua aleha kechova, but nonetheless, we see differences between Maariv as opposed to Shacharis and Mincha. One perhaps would have expected that once we assume Shavua Kachova, now there's no difference. The difference was in the past. There was a difference, but currently there is no difference. Everything is considered to be comparable to a Tfilas Cholva. And yet the Rambam writes, that's not the case. The Rambam writes, we don't have Chazara Sashatz in Maariv because Tfilas Arvis is only Rishus. No, the Rambam indicates that we daven Maariv early when necessary because Tfilas Arvis Rishus in Medaktik and Bismana, the Rambam Perek Gimel of Hilchos Tfila, and that no Rambam that we spend time on, that Rambam Perek Yud of Hilchos Tfila, if a person is in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei and realizes he already davened, the Rambam writes, Posek Afilu Be'emtza, you stop in midstream, because even though you have a right to daven a Tfilas Chova or a Tfilas Nadava, you can't just simply mix and match. You can't have a Tfila, half of which is a Chova, and half of which is Einadava. So if in midstream you realize I davened already, but you began as a Tfilas Chova, you can no longer continue. The Rambam writes an exceptional case, and that is Maariv. Because even though you didn't realize you davened Maariv already, but even though you thought you were davening the first time, but it was still only a Tfilas Rishus. So there's a seamless transition in a case of Nizkar Shekvar Hispalo. And that's the Pesach of the Rambam. I'm in the middle of a Shemoneh Esrei, I realize I davened already, Shacharis Mincha, you stop. When it comes to Maariv, you continue because you only began a Daita de Rishus. So he pointed out that all these cases are Chidushim, because you see that Tfilas Arvis Rishus is treated in a very meaningful way, Halacha L'maisa. Not just simply that it was a Rishus, but it's no longer a Rishus. And the beer that Ruchaim explains there in Perek Yud of Hilchos Tefillah is that the difference, according to the Rambam, between a Tefillah's Rishus and a Tefillah's Chova is an inherent one. The quality of the Tefillah, the Chetzer Shel Tefillah, is distinct. Shavua Kechova, the fact that every day I have decided to daven, does not impact on the essence of the tefillah. What it means is there is a personal obligation, a chovas agavra, comparable to a person who says, you know what, every day or once a week or once a month, I'm going to offer a carbon nedava. Even though the person is obligated to do so because he has taken upon himself to do that, but nonetheless, the carbon inherently, you wouldn't argue is a carbon chova, a person has a chovas hagavra to offer a carbon nedava each and every month, week, day. The same thing here. Shavua chova means I have taken upon myself to daven a tefillas nedava each and every night, but inherently the tefillah remains a tefillas rishus. And that's how it's possible to have those interesting distinctions. Soloveitchik once gave a beautiful biur. Tosus describes in Megillah and Daf Chof Gimel the Kaddish that we recite during Kriya Satora. There were various minhagim. What we do is not a davar poshut, but what we do on a typical Shabbos, a typical Yantif, is we have the number of aliyahs, right? 5, 6, 7 aliyahs. Then we have Kaddish, and then we have Maftir. Let's assume, for example, it's a Tainus Tzibur, so therefore we're not going to do that. We're going to have 3 aliyahs, and then we're going to have Kaddish. When does Kaddish conclude the Kriya Satora? And when is Kaddish Be'emtza Kriya Satora? So Tosus writes the following Chiddush, that there are different types of Kaddish. Tosus says there is something which is called a Kaddish Hamatzik. Sometimes a Kaddish can serve as a barrier to indicate that we are shifting gears. What was true up until now is not necessarily true of that which follows. So, for example, when you're dealing with the Tainis, Aliyah 1, 2, 3, all of them are equal footing. All of them are considered to be part of the Chovas Hayom. And therefore, one cannot have a Kaddish in the middle of the Kriya. However, when it comes to Shabbos, for example, Mi'ikar Hadin, we assume you're obligated to have 7 Aliyahs on Shabbos. What is Maftir in addition to? Tosus writes, the secret, right? It's a Hosafa. It's an extra Aliyah. Right. Someone in your shul says, in our shul we don't have Hosafos. In your shul you do have Hosafos, right? You have 7 aliyahs, Kaddish, and then Maftir. Good? So therefore there certainly is a marked difference between the Shiva Kruim and the Maftir. When it comes to the Maftir and the Tainus Tzibur, right, that is not a Hosafa. But when it comes to a typical Maftir, it's an addition to. If technically speaking we would never have Osaf in that case, then Shri would be the last Aliyah, which is the Aliyah of Maftir. That's what Tosfos writes in Megillah Daf Chav Gimel. Just really realize that technically speaking we're having a Hosafa, and you know what? We're having Hosafa even on Yom Kippur. We're even having Hosafa on Yom Tov as well, because we have the five Aliyahs, then Kaddish, and then we have Maftir. So Tosfos writes the following Chiddush. In order to demonstrate this really is the case, that this eighth Aliyah of Maftir is what? Part of the Shiva Kruim. But it's in addition to, above and beyond, it's a Hosafa. So that's why the Kaddish is placed exactly there. The Kaddish serves as a Kaddishat Mafsik. It demonstrates that there are two halves. And now there's a transition between the Chova Sayam and that which is only considered to be a Hosafa. So therefore, again, interesting Chiddush that there are different types of Kaddish, right? We're always used to different types of Kaddish in the following sense. There's a Kaddish HaMaskil. Sometimes the Kaddish introduces. For example, Soloveitchik pointed out based on the Rambam, every Shmona Esrei requires a Kaddish. Every Shmona Esrei requires a Kaddish. So therefore, you're about to daven Shachas Mincha Mara, there has to be a Kaddish, which in fact precedes. You know, it's more obvious when it comes to Mincha, there's a Kaddish right before Shmona Esrei. When it comes to Maariv, there's a Kaddish which is right before Shmona Esrei. That serves as a Kaddish HaMaskil. The same thing is true when it comes to Shachris as well, but the Kaddish HaMaskil is not immediately before Shmona Esrei, but it's earlier, right after Yishtabach. But the purpose of that Kaddish is to introduce that which follows, a Kaddish HaMaskil. Matthew Ephraim writes as an example that it's appropriate to go ahead and to say the piyut of Hineni, right, Danyamim Naraim, and we should try to say that before Shmona Esrei, but you can't say it right before Shmona Esrei because the Kaddish has to be Samach L'Shmona Esrei, so therefore Hineni is before, and then you go into the Kaddish, and then you go into the Shmona Esrei, because the Kaddish serves as a Kaddish HaMaskil. And sometimes you have a Kaddish which we call a Kaddish HaMisayim. Sometimes a Kaddish concludes. Following Shmona Esrei, we have a Kaddish Tiskabel. The Kaddish Tiskabel is a further Tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to accept our Tefillahs. And therefore, that's a Kaddish that follows. And that clearly is linked to the fact that it is at the aftermath, the conclusion of a Shmona Esrei Ad Kedei Kach, that if you lose your minyan, right, before Kaddish, you can still say the Kaddish Yiskabel because you're allowed to finish the unit. And that is called one unit, the Shmona Esrei with the Kaddish Yiskabel. Yeah.
Why is the Kriya Shma considered
Esrei? Right. So that we'll see. What about Kriya Shma? Is that or is that not? So it's interesting that we have a Kaddish which is a Maschil, and we have a Kaddish which is a Kaddish HaMisayim, and now Tosfos says the Chiddush, Megillah Chaf Gimel, there's a Kaddish HaMafsik. That sometimes you have a Kaddish which indicates transition. You're going from the Chiyuv of the Shiva Kruim to the Rishus of the Maftir. So in order to demonstrate that shift, so now you have a Kaddish. So Soloveitchik explained the following beautiful beer. Tosfos writes that why is it that all of a sudden you have a Kaddish, right, in Maariv, right before the Shmona, you don't have that in Shachris? The Kaddish in Shachris is before Kriya Shema, right after Yishtabach, and all of a sudden Maariv, after Kriya Shema, and now you have a Kaddish. So Tosfos writes, because Tefillah Arvis is Rishus. That's what Tosfos writes in Brachos and Daf Dalet. Tefillah Arvis is Rishus. So the simple understanding of Tosfos seems to mean, you know, since Tefillah Arvis is Rishus, we're not as particular. Just like the Rambam writes, Tefillah Arvis Rishus ain't medaktik in bismano. Tefillah Arvis is Rishus, we can daven early. Tefillah Arvis is Rishus, we can interrupt a little bit. We can interrupt, like a minute, for example, we won't say piyutim during Shachris, but maybe we'll say piyutim during Maariv, because Tefillah Arvis is Rishus. We won't have to be as meticulous, and maybe that's why we'll say Vishamru, and that's why you say Vayidavre Moshe, because Tefillah Arvis is only Rishus, so therefore, the fact that there could be some interruption between Gal Yisrael and Shmona Esrei doesn't necessarily trouble us as much. So I think that's one possibility in Tosfos. Tefillah Arvis is Rishus, and therefore, we're somewhat more lenient. But according to Tosfos and Megillah Daf Chaf Gimel, one could argue, perhaps, right, in this possibility, right, and that is that no, whenever you go from a chova to a rishus, like the Shiva Kruim, to Matir, which is a Hosafa, that has to be indicated by some distinction. And the Kaddish serves as a Kaddish HaMasik. Whenever you transition from a Chiyuv to a Rishus. So therefore, when it comes to Shachris, Kriya Shema is a Chiyuv, Kriya Shema is a Mitzvah Daraisa. Shmonesre is also a Chiyuv. Shachris is not a Rishus. Shachris is an absolute Chiyuv. And therefore, there's no Kaddish HaMasik in between that which is a Chova and that which is a Chova, certainly not. But perhaps what Tosus means is as follows. Kriya Shema is a Chova. It's a Mitzvah Daraisa Balayla. And Shmonesre is only a Rishus. In order to demonstrate that shift, that transition, like the Shiva Kruim in Mafti, which is only a Rishus, so therefore it's necessary to have, not an allowance, it's necessary to have a Kaddish HaMasik, in order to indicate that we are shifting gears. We are saying Shmonesre, and we recited Kriya Shema, but realize they're not the same at all. Kriya Shema Zachova, Shmonesre is considered to be Rishus, and that would account for a Kaddish HaMasik. It's an interesting possibility, even when it comes to that application as well. Right? This is relevant even to the obligation of women in tefillah, because after all, the Mishnah in Brachos does tell us that women are obligated in tefillah. The Gemara writes in Brachos and Daf Chaf Mabeis that even though one would have thought that tefillah is a Zman Grama, but nonetheless tefillah is Bakashas Rachanim, and therefore how appropriate it is that everyone should indeed be Mevakesh Rachamim, and therefore women are obligated in tefillah. That's from the Chabad writes in Simen Kuvav. Mishnah Berurah comments that even if one should argue that's true when it comes to Shachris, that when it comes to Mincha, maybe it doesn't apply when it comes to Arvis, because Arvis is only in Rishus, and even though Shavu Aleha Kechova, maybe that only applies to men who Shavu Aleha Kechova, not when it comes to women. Typically women do not regularly daven Maariv, and as such, Shavu Aleha Kechova would not apply in that particular instance. But Shavu Aleha Kechova, a very operative principle when it comes to these forms of Erishness. If you look in Magen Avram, the Magen Avram uses Shavu Aleha Kechova in a broader context. Right? The source here is Tefillas Arvis. Magen Avram applies it in a more general, in a broader strokes. If you look in Taf Pei Tes, Siman Tafei Tes is the Siman of Sfiras HaOmer. And that's where we assume as Rov Rishonim, the Rambam is explicit in Sefer HaMitzvos, that women are exempt from Sfiras HaOmer. After all, if you were to ask me what is the classic model of a mitzvah cessation, Hazman Grama, right, among the list, certainly Sfiras HaOmer comes to mind. It is only at this particular time of the year. Sfira, right, is only on this particular day. Right, Sfira is Balayla, not necessarily Bayom, and therefore, certainly that should render Sfira Somer a mitzvah cessation Hazman Grama. There is, right, a Ramban in Kedushin, Daf Lamed Daled, where the Ramban lists examples of a mitzvah cessation Ein Hazman Grama, and surprisingly, what we have in the Ramban is in that list there is Sfira Somer. Interesting. Right, that the Rabban somehow did not term that a mitzvah cessation Hazman Grama, but Rov Rishonim are against this Ramban. The Rambam is explicit that Sfiras HaOmer is indeed a mitzvah cessation Hazman Grama, and therefore women are exempt. So the Magen Avraham in Taf Pei Tes, the Siman of Sfiras HaOmer, writes that women are exempt from Sfiras HaOmer, but you should realize that Kvar Shavu Aleha Kechova, that women already have accepted upon themselves routinely to count the Omer, Shavu Aleha Kechova. And this is similar to a comment Rabbi Kiveger has, right, in the very beginning of the Chus Rabbi Kiveger in Simon Aleph. Right, Rabbi Kiveger has a Hashmata to Simon Aleph, and his addendum to Simon Aleph, Rabbi Kiveger writes that this is true of Rov Mitzos Asei Shehazman Grama. Most Mitzos Asei Shehazman Grama, Shavu Aleha Kechova. When it comes to shofar, technically women are exempt, but women, of course, always hear shofar. Women are exempt from lulav, exempt from sukkah, but nonetheless, women take the lulav, women sit in sukkah. So therefore, Rabbi Kiveger writes, we can apply that principle of Shavu Aleha Kechova. Rabbi Kiveger writes astounding examples. Rabbi Kiveger writes a chiddush that women are exempt from kiddush, anyantet. Women are only obligated in Kiddush on Shabbos. Rabbi Kveger writes, women are exempt from Sudas Yontif. They're only obligated in Sudas Shabbos. But Rabbi Kveger immediately comments that when it comes to most of these cases, Shavuola has Hechol. So it's similar to the comment that the Magen Avraham has in regarding Sfiras Omer, that technically women are exempt, that Shavu Aleha Kecholva. So if you look in Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Shin Vav, the Mitzvah of Sfiras Omer, Minchas Chinuch is quite bothered by this extension. Because after all, what exactly does Shavu Aleha Kecholva mean? See, Minchas Chinuch writes as follows. When it comes, for example, to Tfilas Arvis, you look in the Tanaim. There are two views. The view of Rabbi Gamliel is Marev is a Choma. The view of Rabbi Yeshua is Tfilas Arvis is Rishus. There are two very legitimate deos. You'll ask me, how do we paskin? I'll tell you, we paskin like Rabbi Yeshua, that Tfilas Arvis is considered to be a Rishus. Don't I have a right to say, good, technically speaking, we paskin like that view of Rabbi Yeshua, but you know what? That I will opt for the Das HaMachmirim. Right? I will want to be Yotzei L'Chol HaDeos. And therefore, I am going to follow the opinion of Rabban Gamliel. In fact, the Prima Gadim writes, an interesting Chiddush, that that's called Hidra Mitzvah. Hidra Mitzvah is Yetzias Yidei Chavasa L'Chol HaDeos. That's a form of Hidra Mitzvah. Hidra mitzvah, to have a beautiful object of the mitzvah, the Sugin Shabbos, Kuf Lamed Gimel. But the Prima Gadim also writes that Yitziyah Sidei Chavasa L'Chol HaDeos also is considered to be a form of Hidra mitzvah. Technically, passing like Shita A. But you know what? Don't I have a right to say, I don't know, Yotzi L'Chol HaDeos? What exactly is that called? So, that, right, the Prima Gadim writes, is called Hidra Mitzvah. What is the significance of calling it Hidra Mitzvah? Because the Gemara writes in Bava Kamma and Daf Tes that Hidra Mitzvah is Ad Shlish. How far is a person obligated to go for Hidra Mitzvah? The answer is one third. A person should be willing to spend an additional third for Hidra Mitzvah. So if your kasher dalet minim, right, are $50, and that which is Hidra Mitzvah is hundreds of dollars, right, you're not obligated to. Right? But if it would be an incremental difference, right? In that instance, then Hidra Mitzvah Ad Shlish. So, the Prima Gadim writes, Lahalacha, very important, that how much should a person be willing to expend in order to be Yotze L'chol HaDeos? He writes, Ad Shlish, because that's a form of Hidra Mitzvah. Right, that's an interesting subject. Not so clear. Not so clear. In other words, the Gemara raises the suffix. We have the Hidra Mitzvah Milagav and Labar, that's a suffix of a common Dav Tes, and the Gemara does not come to a Maskana, it's a Machlokas Rishonim Hadapaskin. Perhaps that could hinge on whether Hidra Mitzvah is a Din Daraisa, whether Hidra Mitzvah is a Din Drabanan, maybe to some extent. Not so clear. How we Paskin in that Machlokas, that what is 6 plus a third, right? Something Mikra Hadin is $60, and yet Hidra Mitzvah, am I obligated to spend, right, $80 or $90, right? A third of 60 is 20, so 60 and 20 is 80, or no, of the amount of money that I will ultimately spend, $90, I'll divide that into two-thirds for the Iker Mitzvah and one-third for the Hidra Mitzvah. That which is Milagav and Milabayan, that's the suffix of the Gemara Bava Kamma and Daf Tes. An interesting issue. Hidra Mitzvah, Yitziyah, Tzarech HaVasal, L'chol HaDeos. An interesting theme for a separate shir, and that is, what is a legitimate Das Yachid, and what is what I would term a Shita Dechuya. When is it a Chumra, Tzvi Machmer, for a day that we don't pass the night? Or maybe the flip side. When B'Shas Havcha can one rely on a view that we also typically do not paskamai, right? You look at the Mishnayos from the very beginning of Brachos, the Vilna Gaon points out, you get the impression that Rabbi Tarfon was doing something inappropriate, being machmer for the Shita of Deishamai. All of a sudden, came Kriya Shema Varvis, Rabbi Tarfon is laying on the ground and saying Kriya Shema, Kedai Ulochav Atzmacha Shavrot, you shouldn't have done that. Isn't that just being machmer like the view of Deishamai? The impression that you get is that one should not do so. But the Mishnah is later in Brachos, quote the Midas Chassidus, a person, let's say, washes and eats and forgets to bench, now he's traveling, all of a sudden he realizes that he forgot to bench. Is it okay to bench where he's at? Or is he obligated to go ahead and to go back and bench in the Makom Achila. So Beis Shammai is more machmer than Beis Hillel, requiring that you go back. The Gemara tells stories of those who are machmer for the Shita of Beis Shammai going back, and guess what? On the road back, they chanced upon a very valuable lost possession. It's indicating that, yeah, that was a good thing to do, a good midas chasidus, and they were rewarded for that. That's what the Vilna Gaon discusses in the very beginning of Brachos. When is it a midas chasidus to be machmer? When is it considered to be, right, that which is not considered to be midas chasidus? In a word, it depends on something which is a legitimate das yachid, or whether something is a rejected Shita dechuya. We reject Beis Shammai's definition that uveshoch v'cha means that the posture in which you lay in Kriyat Shema is laying down on the floor. But when it comes to returning back to the Makom Achila, we argue it's not necessary to do so. I recognize the maila of benching in the Makom Achila. It's not always required, but I'll admit that, you know, it's a midas chasidus to go ahead and to returns. That's a fascinating issue. Right, in that instance of Chumrah, when to be machmer for Idas Yachid. So again, when it comes to Tefillah Sarvis, there are two schools, there are two deos. Is it a Chova, is it a Rishus? So you'll tell me, technically speaking, we pass my day A. Can't I say, you know what, I am going to treat myself more stringently and abide by opinion B? If that's true, then we would limit the concept of Shivla Kachova to the Makom Plukta. Well, it's a machlokas. Well, it's a machlokas. You have two deos, I can up the das hamachmirim. Let's assume there's no machlokas whatsoever. No one says that this is the case. No one says that women are obligated in shofar. Shofar is a mitzvah shas van grama. So I can say that women perform the mitzvah as einu mitzuviyose. Now, I can argue that's true, even though women are exempt from shofar. They can hear the shofar because, undeniably, it's a performance of the mitzvah, even though there's no obligation. But the Menchaschina questions, can you honestly apply the principle of Shavila Kachova? Shavila Kachova cannot transform a Dvar Rishus into a Chiyuv. All you can say is that if it's the Makom Plukta, I am opting for the Das HaMachmirim that treats it as a Chova. But you can't Yesh Me'ayin convert something from Rishus to a Chova just because he decided to go ahead and do so. And therefore, the Mechassinach objects to that formulation of the Magen Avraham, that even though women are exempt from Sfiras HaOmer, Shavio Lek HaChova. You could say even though women are exempt from Sfiras HaOmer, traditionally they count, but Shavio Kachova sounds like more than that. No, in marriage, it's not just, even though we're exempt from Arab, we traditionally do Slavah Grice. No, it has the status of a Chiyuv, and therefore you have to repeat Shemoneh Esrei if you make a mistake. We wouldn't say that when it comes necessarily to women in Mitzvah Saseh, Shazman Grama. So pretty fascinating machlokas. The truth is that this is already a machlokas even in earlier Mefarshim. This is what the Ramah discusses in Darkei Moshe, in Kuf Pei Ches, that maybe one could argue Shavla Kechova when it comes to, let's say, Shalashuddhis, where it's a machlokis as to whether pas is necessary and pas is not necessary. But one thing is clear, the Ramah writes, you would not say Shavil Kechova when it comes to your pure Dvarishuddhis. Let's assume a person has a practice of having Yisud on Rosh Chodesh. A person can't fast on Rosh Chodesh. And a person will have, let's say, a minhag of having a Sudas Rosh Chodesh. Fine, but the Ramah says you would not apply the principle of Shavu Aleha Kechova because there's no Chiyuv. So you can call it a Hanhaga Tova. You could call it, even if you want, a Neder that a person has taken upon himself to do so, but you can't use the term Shavu Aleha Kechova unless there is a starting point where this perhaps is considered to be a Chiyuv. But it's a fascinating issue. To what extent Shavu Aleha Kechova is relevant for that which begins, that is Machlokes, begins as a pure Dvar Rishus. You do find, though, right, in post-game the application of Shavila Kachova, even regarding something which is considered to be a pure Rishus. The Rav Yah writes that maybe this is true even when it comes to Sudas Purim and Sudas Hanukkah. Sudas Purim is an interesting case. When is obligated to have a Sudan Purim? That's one of the mitzvot Sayom. But what is the quality of the Suda? Is it comparable to a Suda Shabbos? A Suda Shabbos or a Suda Yantif is a mitzvah of Oneg. Oneg requires absolute tas. The person is obligated to wash, obligated to eat bread, obligated to bench, obligated to say Ritzer Yala Viyavo. There's a full chiyuv suda. And that's the rule of thumb in Kuf Peches, that if there's a full chiyuv suda, if you're going to forget Yala Viyavo, and you're going to forget Ritzay, you have to repeat the benching. So Chol HaMoed, I forget Yala Viyavo, I don't, because there's no chiyuv suda. And yet, if I forget Yala V'Yavo, I do, because there was an absolute Chiyav Suda, the same Yala V'Yavo. Well, it depends whether there was or was not a Chiyav Suda. What about on Purim? Interesting issue, no? On Purim. A person forgets, let's say, Al HaNisim. Is he obligated to repeat? Is there a Chiyav of Sudas Purim? There is a Chiyav of Sudas Purim. But does that necessarily require fast? If you look in the Rambam, Hilchos Megillah, the Rambam does not mention fas. The Rambam mentions yisaken sudana, you should have a beautiful meal. And the Rambam writes you should have basar v'yayin. But the Rambam does not mention that pas is really necessary. If I have an elaborate suda of basar v'yayin, I wouldn't be benching. And I wouldn't be saying al anisim. So if I happen to wash, is that necessarily yikuv? It's mafurish in the Rambam, nechus brachos. But if you forget al anisim and purim, you don't repeat. There's no chiyuv of pas. The Rav Yarite Shavila Kachova. Shavila Kachova. Yeah, that's true. That maybe technically speaking there was no such chiyuv, but you know what? Typically speaking, we wash up the Sudas Purim. And you may mishta the simcha to have a full mishta, typically wash. And therefore, a chiddush, the Rav Yarite Shavila Kachova. To the extent that if you forget Al HaNisim, you'd have to repeat. The Berachas HaMazon, you still have you don't. In fact, Magen Avraham writes, it would be quite unusual that we would treat the Suda more chamor than Tefillah. On Rosh Chodesh, if you get Yom HaVyavo in the meal, you're not chozer. If you get in Tefillah, you're chozer. If you forget Al HaNisim in Shemoneh Esrei, you're not chozer. And if you forget Al HaNisim in benching, because you are chozer, Magen Avraham points, he doesn't think that's the case. And therefore, one would not be a chozer. Yisum lahalachon is not chozer. Right? For cases of al anisim, neither in Shemoneh Esrei nor in Berachas HaMazon. But in Rav Yorah, Shavila Kachova. Rav Yorah assumes that even though technically speaking there was no chiyuv, but if that's the routine, that can be an instance where we apply the principle of Shavila Kachova, even though it wasn't Tadeus, it wasn't a machlokes, but straight. Shavila Kachov, even in that case as well. Interesting chiddush, Rav Yarayis. There's an interesting Tshuvas Marsham. When it comes to Birchas Erisin, or Birchas Nisuin, an interesting application as well. You know, there's a difference between a Birchas Hanene as opposed to Birchas HaMitzvah. We allow for the principle of Shomea Ka'one. Right? If all of us are sitting down, I can make a motzi on behalf of everyone. And I will partake, you'll partake, that's considered to be sufficient. That's the principle of Shomea Kona. That only works. Shomea Kona is only operative when I partake as well. Let's assume, for example, you're eating. And I'm not eating. I can recite Hamotzi on your behalf? Certainly not. What is it that links my Hamotzi with the Achila if I am not participating in any shape or form? That's not true of the Birchas HaMitzvah. A Birchas HaMitzvah allows for Yatz HaMotzi that I can go ahead and recite a bracha exclusively for you, even though I was already yotzei. But that is uniquely true when it comes to Birchas HaMitzvah, not when it comes to a Birchas HaNenim. So Kiddush, I can make Kiddush repeatedly for you. HaMotzi, I can only make for you if I will partake. Because we treat Kiddush as comparable to Birchas HaMitzvah, HaMotzi we treat as a Birchas HaNenim. When it comes to Kiddush, even the bracha bar priya gafen of Kiddush, we recite on behalf of others, Yatza Motzi. It seems as though the bracha bar priya gafen has the character, the quality of the Kiddush itself. Not just simply as an ancillary, a secondary birchas hanenu. It's not just simply, you know what, I'm making Kiddush, which would be his bracha too, and I'm going to be drinking, so I have to make a bracha bar priya gafen, so incorporate the bracha bar priya gafen into the Kiddush. Now this isn't merely co-opting the bracha. This is part of, right, the Kiddush, to the extent that we assume Yatza Motzi. What about when it comes to Birchas Erisin? What about when it comes to Birchas Nisuin? So when you look in the Gemara as an example, in Suvas and Davzayin Wadeiz, Dav Chesam and Aleph, the Gemara mentions the Birchas Erisin, the Gemara mentions Birchas Nisuin, but the Bracha Baruch Ragafin is not an inherent part of the Birchas Erisin. You know, when the Gemara lists the Sheva Brachos, you count them, right, there's six. Doesn't quite have the same ring, but there's six brachos. But since our practice is to be koveya, the birchas nisuin al hayayin, so bara priyadafen together with the six brachos, that's a total. It's a total of seven. But the bracha bara priyadafen is not really necessarily an inherent part of birchas nisuin, nor birchas erisin. The Gemara does point out in Erev and Daf Mem that there are certain brachos that are enhanced when they are recited on a kosher bracha, and therefore we enhance the Birchas Erisin by doing so al hayayin. But if I were to ask you, technically speaking, what is the Birchas Erisin? The Birchas Erisin is Asher Kedushan Mitzvah Tzivano al Arayos. And what is the bracha Bar Piyadafen? Birchas Enenin. So if that really is true, that's the comment that the Pnei Yeshua has, the Kuntras Achron, then the Sugyan Ksuvas, that, wait, the Mesadri Kedushin makes the Bracha Bar Piyadafen, and he goes ahead and passes the wine to the Chosin and Kala to drink without drinking himself. So how does that work? This is a Berachas Anenin, don't you require a Shomea Kohen and not a Yatza Motzi? So right, one can envision various possibilities. Maybe he has to drink. So he can drink overtly, he'll drink. Or maybe he'll drink covertly by spilling a little bit of the wine and sipping it. Afikayam was asked that someone saw Reb Chaim was Masada Kedushin. He didn't drink. Afikayam was a minute. He did. He spilled a little bit, you know, and he sipped. He didn't want to do something that was so overtly against the Minhag HaOlam. In earlier generations, there was a great difference in the Minhag HaOlam, so you didn't want to, in your face, go against the public perception. You see Rabbi Natam. Rabbi Natam felt that Tekiah Shofar, right, of the Minhag HaOlam was very difficult because they used to blow differently for Malchias Zichronos and for Shofros. They used to blow Tekiah Shvam Shua Tekiah for Malchias, and Tekiah Shvam Tekiah for Zichronos, and Tekiah Shua Tekiah for Shofros. Rabbi Natam says, you're not being Yosei at all if you do that. Not being Yosei at all, because one is correct, but the other two are not. So how can you blow different things from Malchios and for the Zichronos and for Shofros? So you would have expected Rabbi Natam would say, you know, so let's do all three for everything to cover our bases. Rabbi Natam writes, he didn't want to go against the Minhag HaOlam. The Minhag HaOlam was to blow one line. And Rabbi Natam's meaning they're going to blow three lines. What we do. Rabbi Natam, how can you do that? You're going against the Minhag HaOlam. So Rabbi Natam, in a very covert way, just added a couple of kolos. Right? It wouldn't be so obviously against the Minhag HaOlam. Right? He added two kolos. Right? He added, right, in Malchios it would be exactly the same. Tekiah Shvam Shua Tekiah. In Zichronos, the minhag was to blow Tekiah Shvam Tekiah. He blew Tekiah Shvam Shua Tekiah. One extra Tekiah. True. And in Shofros, the minhag was to blow Tekiah Shua Tekiah. He blew Shvam Shua. So he added two kolos. Rabbi Natam felt that was a much, much better option. Right? That was the chiddush, that if you blow Tekiah Shvam Shua Tekiah, you don't see every possibility. Because what's the worst case scenario? That you blew an extra call, that's the chiddush Rabbi Natam, that call acher, an extra call is not going to make or break. Right? It was worth it for Rabbi Natam to blow with an extra call, a possible hefsek, than to go against the Minhag HaOlam. Right? There was a certain like reverence, a certain deference, right? This was the minhag, so we don't fly in the face of doing so. So, interesting issue. But I would tell you that the most simple minhag is the Masada condition does not drink from the wine. Does not drink the wine. Right, so what do you do with that kasha Pnei Yeshua raises? So Birkat Tshuvas Maharsham and Chelek Kesem Ches, the Maharsham writes that you're right. Technically speaking, Baruch Pergafen was not necessary. But have you ever been to a chasana where they don't recite Baruch Pergafen? This is already an orderly minute from the time of the Gaonim, and therefore Shaviu Alek Kacholva. Therefore, what Karnogu Kol Yisrael? and Karnovel Yisrael has the status of Shula Kachova, and therefore we will treat it as an obligatory bracha, and therefore apply the principle of Yatzamotzi, not only Shomer Kohen, and therefore no need to go ahead and to drink. It's an interesting possibility. That's a further example of Shula Kachova that transforms. It's not just simply taking sides. You have two views, and even though technically speaking we will opt for Paschal like A, I will opt for B. No. It means that something which clearly was not necessary is treated as a chova because of Parnoha Gokol Yisrael. That's an interesting possibility. Whether something can be transformed into a chova that was purely considered to be that which is a rishus. So again, the application in the Gaonim is to Tefillas Arvis. But Arvis is a limited model, because Arvis is something that Meikara was a machlokas, whether it's rishus or whether it's chova. But the expansion of the possibility of applying it even to Mitzvah Seseh Shazman Grama, or even to a case of a Sudas Purim, or even to cases of Birchas Erisin, something which is considered to be in that fashion. Rabbi Yosef discusses Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. On Rosh Chodesh, the Gemara writes, Mikra Hadin is only a minhag. And that's why we say a Chatzi Hallel. And it wasn't such a universal minhag. But Zman Hazeh, have you ever had Rosh Chodesh without Hallel? Can we apply the principle of that, what do you mean? For an Uncle Kol Yisrael. And therefore, maybe I'm going to argue that what began as a minhag of Chatzi Hallel takes on, right, a different character, because, let's assume the Rambam's term, for an Uncle Kol Yisrael, that is considered to be, right, the universal practice. It's a fascinating issue to what extent we apply this principle. And again, that the meaning of Tefillas Arvis, Rishus Rechova, that even with everything said and done in Pranova Chol Yisrael, doesn't necessarily mean, right, as Reb Chaim points out, that the composition of the tefila is altered. Bechetz, inherently, it can remain a Tefillas Rishus, but nonetheless, there's a chovas hagamra to engage in a tefillas nedava each and every day.
It's a kaddish by.